morning, everybody, and I hope you all had a very good Christmas, whatever you did. And I know probably for most of you, it probably had to be a quieter, maybe not as many people as you used to spending with Christmas with, but I hope it was a good and happy one. And I just want to say, before I start, you know, one thing that irritated me was when all the papers, the newspapers, when Boris Johnson made his announcement last Saturday, or a week past Saturday now, and all the newspapers the next day had Christmas was cancelled. Christmas has never been cancelled in any disguise. All that was cancelled was the commercial part of it. The actual Christmas that we as Christians know was never in any doubt. And with that, I'm going to read the reading that I have concentrated on. And it's Luke, for those of you that might have a Bible at home and want to follow along with me. So it's Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 41. You might have the heading, the boy Jesus at the temple. And we're going to read through to the end of the chapter. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival, according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. Now, I want to start with a story. Several years ago, I watched one of the series that they put on television occasionally about a children's hospital. I think it might have been Alder Hayes, but I can't remember exactly. And on this programme, one of the programmes, was Ben. And Ben was a young man of 15 who, among other things, liked canoeing and boat racing. One Saturday morning, as he was standing outside his boating club, he suddenly and unexpectedly collapsed and went into cardiac arrest. Ben was very, very fortunate. One of his instructors was trained in first aid and knew how to give good, effective CPR, and he probably saved Ben's life that day. Ben was rushed to hospital, where doctors carried out urgent tests to determine what had caused the collapse and subsequent cardiac arrest. Ben had to have surgery on his heart, but made a good recovery. And I should imagine that his extremely relieved parents were eventually able to take him home. But one thing always sticks in my memory about this story. When Bernard began to recover in hospital and was no longer critically ill, the kind of major worries were over. He was medically stable and was medically not in any danger any longer. His mother told him how worried both her and his father had been. And Ben had replied, "Why were you worried?" I guess Ben was a typical teenager who just didn't appreciate how frantically worried his parents had been. And this brings us to today's passage in Luke. What was really going on? Now, I want to introduce you to a term, a theological term, kenosis. And it means either breathing out or emptying out. And it's what Jesus did when he left his Father's throne in heaven to come to earth. And theologians have argued throughout the centuries, down through the centuries, about how much Jesus breathed out, how much he gave up, how much knowledge he gave up when he became a tiny baby. And one of the things that they ask, for example, was when Jesus was born, when he was a tiny newborn baby, full man, a human baby, did he know that he was God? Or was it gradually revealed to him as he slowly grew up? And in fact, this is quite an important passage when we think about this. And to put it into context, if we think of, I remember a little while ago, and Prince William was talking about Prince George. And one of the things that Prince William commented on was that they wanted to leave it as long as possible before they had to tell Prince George that, you know, someday he will be king, or is likely to be the king of Great Britain and all the other things that they reign over. He wanted him to have as carefree a childhood as possible, not consumed by the responsibility of his royal duties or his royal inheritance, so that he could have as normal as possible childhood, and to keep that, I guess, that kind of innocence as long as possible. And this is quite a key passage, as I've said already. Now, in the time of Jesus, Jesus was 12. They didn't have the bar mitzvah at this stage, the Jews, so he wouldn't have gone through that. But he was just at an age where he probably wasn't far off turning into 13, where he would have started to seriously have been taught the scriptures. So up until 12, they probably learned a bit, but not in any really great depth. So he was at a stage where he would have been expected to really start learning the scriptures, but he wasn't there just quite yet. And yet he knew, when he was sitting with the teachers, he was obviously had quite an in-depth knowledge. But this also verses the nearly teenage Jesus, who didn't realise how much his parents had worried about him getting lost. I don't want to say too much about how they could have not realised he wasn't in their caravan when they left Jerusalem. The frank truth is, we don't know how he got lost. It could have been that his parents thought he was with somebody else, as you do. Sometimes we don't know, and I'm not going to spend too much time on that question here. But there's almost this tension here between Jesus being the divine God and saying these amazing things to the teachers, and Jesus being almost a teenager and not quite understanding that if you don't go home with your parents, they're going to worry. So there's almost that tension. And I wonder whether it was the kind of Jesus was realizing, starting to realize who he was, but as any typical human teenager, didn't quite always understand what might worry parents. So there's that kind of tension. Jesus still had a lot of growing up to do. He had to go through puberty. He would have been starting at 12, but he would have to go through quite a bit more of his puberty as he went into his teenage years. So he still had to grow and develop into a man. But I wonder as well if Christ had to also have more revealed to him. The Christ part, the God part of Jesus, had to have more revealed to him at this stage. And so he goes home with his parents and is obedient. And I wonder if maybe we get a glimpse here that Jesus is beginning to know who he is, but it's not all been revealed. And of course, we don't really see Jesus again in the Bible, in the scriptures, until Cana, at the very, very beginning of his ministry and the first miracle. But what of today? This is quite an interesting passage for us as well, when we consider this passage and consider what kind of a year we've had. I remember at the beginning of 2020, I was looking forward to going on holiday to Seville and looking forward to doing a very different kind of job to the one I've ended up doing this year, and never dreaming that we were heading into a pandemic. And of course it got slowly revealed to us as we went into January. We started to get hints that there was a problem in Wuhan in China, that there was this virus that was going through the town, that people were starting to die, people were starting to get very ill, and then it started to spread and go around the world. Obviously it started spreading in Asia, in the wider part of Asia, before it gradually spread to Europe and to Britain. And very soon, by the time I think we got into probably towards the end of February, people were beginning to realise, including our government, that we had a major problem. We had a nasty, very nasty disease that was probably going to sweep the country. And of course then on into March, when we all had to go into lockdown proper. So it was a gradual revealing. But we also need to spiritually grow. When we first become a Christian, whenever that is for you, you have to learn about spiritual things. You don't know it all at once. You're not a mature Christian all at once. We have to learn and grow in knowledge, in wisdom, in learning the scriptures. We have to grow and develop. We can do that several ways: through prayer, through Bible reading, through other Christians and coming to church. Obviously there are teachings going on in church that gradually help people to learn, to think, to develop. And probably for those of you who are brought up in a Christian household, you probably gradually went through Sunday school and then through teenage clubs and whatever it was that your church was doing, and on into adulthood, and you gradually learnt about Christian things. If you're a bit like me, I wasn't born into a Christian household. My parents believe, but it's a very institutional way, I guess you could say. So I had to start from scratch when I first became a Christian. I had to learn the scriptures from cold, from completely new. And so I gradually developed and learnt as I learnt more and more. And I remember my first encounters with Christians and how I gradually learnt and how God gradually started to develop me and to reveal things to me. We also need to sustain our faith. And I think this year that's been a real challenge, because this year we've had large parts of the year where we haven't been able to come to church. We've had to do church different ways, via Facebook, via Zoom, or we've had to do it outside, in the car park. And I have to be honest, I hope we have some more of going out in the car park. It was quite fun going out in the car park and having our services and learning how to tie things down so they didn't blow off, learning the technology. It was interesting, I was looking a few weeks ago, and one of the apps, the most downloaded app this year, has been Zoom, followed in Britain by the COVID-19 NHS app. But Zoom, of course, because that's how people have interacted and how we as Christians have had to learn to interact. And it's my prayer and hope that even as we come out of this virus, as the vaccine is rolled out, as the government is able to start relaxing the regulations, it's my hope that the church we can all take something away from this pandemic, take something positive away that helps us to grow and develop and gain wisdom. Now, I hope we don't just give up our technology skills in favour of going back to the old, because I think there's actually real benefit in maintaining some of those skills. Where I work at Croydon Vision, we started in the first lockdown, we started doing Facebook Live events. We did cooking in the kitchen with Aisha, one of our cook. We did craft. We had quizzes. We talked about films. We've done all sorts. And it actually led to us eventually getting funding to properly develop one of our rooms into a proper social media room. And we opened it a few weeks back. It's really full of wizardry. We've got a green screen, so we're all learning that we can't wear green when we go onto Facebook Live, because otherwise there'll be a hole in us. We're learning how to put backgrounds on. And it's my hope that the church can learn from that and adapt mission to that, because that's where people are going now, into technology. And I'm sure that one of the things that we need to learn to do is how to do mission by developing our wisdom and knowledge of how to do digital church. It's my hope as well that the church as a whole learns from this. I think we've all learnt, yes, we all like our church building, but actually we can do church not necessarily in the church building. We can do it on Facebook Live. Yes, it's really nice to all come together and I'm sure we will as soon as we can. But actually, it's possible to do it digitally. I must say a very big thank you to Val when she was doing her Zoom sessions after the service. It was a nice group we got together, and I really, really appreciated that. It was so lovely to be able to meet up with other church members, maybe not in person, but to meet up. And one of the things that I think it's really taught me is that, you know, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. We don't all have to be in the same room for God to all be with us. Because God's omnipresent, he can speak to us all at the same time, even if we're spread out across Croydon and beyond, possibly even across other parts of the world. Again, I hope that a mission is learnt how to spread the Bible, how to spread our faith on the digital platforms. Obviously, in the modern world, that's the way things are going. I don't think things ever will completely return back to normal. Some companies have been learning that they can work quite efficiently with a lot of people at home, and actually it means they don't need such a big building and they can save a lot of money. Now, that's probably going to cause some problems as well, but there are benefits there as well. There's always a benefit and a downside to these things. But I think as well that we've had to learn how to maintain our faith without necessarily having church every week. We've had to learn to exercise our faith muscles. We've had to grow in goodness and wisdom. And so, as we leave 2020, I do want you to think and ponder that it's not all been a bad. There's been a lot of goodness has come out of this. And actually, I think we need to hold on to that goodness, to that wisdom that's been learnt. And that we all, like Jesus in the temple, we all need to go away and carry on learning and growing in wisdom. So I'm going to finish with a prayer. I'm just going to pray, Lord, help us to take the benefits of this year, the positives of this year. Lord, we know that there's been some really serious, awful things that have been happening this year, Lord. There are people who are grieving for loved ones, people who can't see loved ones. But there's also been some very good things have happened. And Lord, help us to recognise those good things, to grow and to develop wisdom as we enter the coming year, 2021. Help us to come closer to you and to develop new ways of interacting with both you and church and faith. And we pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen.